If you have your Bibles, let's turn over here to Romans, the 4th chapter. We're going to be talking today about the flesh, some, and what Abraham, our father, has found according to or pertaining to the flesh. So we'll be talking about the flesh a little bit, and that is a place where every single one of us start, in the flesh. Now, this body is flesh, but there's a mindset, a way of thinking that the flesh thinks. There's only one individual, very unique and totally different, that did not begin in the flesh. God had to prepare him a body for the suffering of death. He was made a little lower than the angels. This is Jesus. As in John, the 3rd chapter, Jesus said, "No man has ascended into heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." So he's there in a body, and he's telling them, "I came from heaven. I am in heaven right now." That's amazing. Very unique. There is only one Jesus, and there is no other like him, which is pretty awesome. That he loved us so much. It was the innocent for the guilty, that he gave his life for you and I, that we might live. And not only have life, but life more abundantly. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to talk some more about hope. And there's something that Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh that I believe if you're listening here today, you're going to find it too. And it's a revelation. It's something that's going to greatly, greatly help you while you are in the flesh. How many of you at times know the flesh can be pretty tough? Huh? We'll read in the book of Romans, the same book, the 7th chapter, Paul makes a statement. He says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And I'll have Walker read that after a little while, and then we're going to read the last couple verses there to show you while you're in the flesh, how you live after the Spirit. How you live after God. And you'll know when we read in Romans 8, Paul was really after this church in Rome, about how to live in for God even while you are in the flesh. So let's get started on some of these things. Romans, the 4th chapter in the first verse, Paul said, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father hath pertaining to the flesh hath found?" So it's something that's pertaining to the flesh that our father Abraham found. That's a question. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." He didn't do it himself, did he? He didn't work a work to do this. He could not glory before God. But here's the first thing that Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh. "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." While Abraham was in the flesh, the first thing he figured out was, "I can believe God." How many of you have come to that? Have found that while you're in this flesh, while you're in the flesh that we're going to see as a mindset, you can believe God. And guess what? There's something that comes with that. It's a promise. He said that when he believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You ever thought about that? When you believe God, God imputes his righteousness to you. In Romans, the 1st chapter, we're going to be all in this book here today. And the 17th verse, it says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." As you walk in faith and you continue to stay in that faith and you go faith to faith, righteousness, the right things of God are being revealed to you. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So the first thing Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh is that he can believe God and it would be counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt." In one of Paul's other books, I believe it, is it Philippians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So grace and faith working together. What's the other thing that works right in there with grace, faith, believing? Hope. Jennifer's saying it. Hope. And the revelation that you're going to get here today, if you got an ear to hear, if you'll listen and God will impute it unto you, there's a place in the flesh that you can rest, that you can deal with all these things. And see, the flesh, as we already said, Paul said, there's no good thing in my flesh. Jesus made it very clear in John, the third chapter, when he's speaking with Nicodemus, and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The fifth verse, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he can't enter in. So you have to be born again. In that same chapter, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, in the eighth chapter of the book of Romans, Paul makes it very clean. This goes beyond just a body, just this body you have here, or a terrestrial body. He said, you are no longer in the flesh, if so be the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Well, wait a minute. Here I am. I'm in the flesh. So he's talking about something beyond just the body. He's talking about how you think. You begin to put on the mind of Christ. And while you're in a body, while you're in the flesh, that flesh no longer has dominion over you. You bring your body into subjection, and now Christ leads you. Christ guides you. The Spirit of truth brings you into all truth. Is that what the Spirit of truth does, Jim? You love that song, don't you? Very dear to you. That's because it's the Spirit of truth that's working these works for you right now. Now, back to Romans, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read four again. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, I did this. I worked it. Now, you owe me, God. You're making God your debtor. It don't work that way. He said, the only way you're going to do these things, the only way you're going to work the works of God, the only way you're going to be led by the Spirit is because of my grace. See, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And Walker, grace is a spirit. That grace that comes from the Spirit of God Almighty, Daryl, comes into your spirit. Your spirit begins to bear witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. Amen? Now, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now notice something, Walker. Not only did Abraham understand this, there's a king here, a priest and a prophet. This man's name is David. He understands what I'm sharing with you also because he experienced it. Listen closely. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. This is a blessing. David describes the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without you doing anything except believing. Just believe. That's what God gives you a word. This is what Abraham, we'll look in Genesis, the 15th chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham prayed, asked for an heir to his kingdom, to everything he had. And what did God say, Walker? Look at the stars. See if you'll be able to number them. So shall your seed be. Whoo! He was looking for Abraham to begin to proclaim this promise, to live and walk in the hope of, Walker, the word that was given to him, to believe it and walk in it, walk in that hope. Watch what else David understood here, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Are you seeing all these things that Abraham come to to understanding as pertaining to the flesh. You're blessed if your iniquities are not imputed unto you. You're blessed if your sins are covered. You're blessed if you believe the word that comes from God to each and every one of you. Do you realize that you're blessed here today if you will believe these words that I've brought to you here today? Because I didn't conjure this up. Like Rick would always say, Walker, I'm not smart enough. God is sending these things to each and every one of us. God is helping us to understand these things that pertain to the flesh, that we can believe as we're in the flesh, that we can have our sins covered while we're in the flesh, that our iniquities will not be imputed unto us, even though we're in the flesh. And in that flesh, did you find that scripture, Walker? Yes. Romans 7, right? Yes. This is a beautiful chapter. If you want to follow up and let God talk to you even more after we speak here today, you can just write down or remember, hey, he went to Romans 4. Hey, he went to Romans 7. Hey, he went to Romans 8, Romans 1. Read those chapters on your own. You and God together, let God bless you. How does that sound? Homework assignment. Come on, Walker.
Romans 7 and 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not.
Ooh, do you hear that? How many of you have caught yourself in that? I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to do right. I'm willing it, but I can't find how to do it. So we all can relate to being in the flesh here. We should be able to, huh? I was going to say, Walker, should you read any before that? But if you do, you'll probably have to go to the first verse and just start the whole chapter. Start over again, read what you read, and then read that extra verse you wanted to read.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do.
There's a bit of a tongue twister in there, huh? That which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, that I do. I find in a law. What does he say, Walker?
Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
But sin that dwelleth in me. So here's the problem with the flesh. Sin is present. See, that's what made Jesus different. He was tempted in like manner, just like each and every one of us. But it says, surely, yet without sin. That's a different man right there. How do you know? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, many of the battles that we deal with is simply because we have not brought our body into subjection. We have not bridled the lust and the affections thereof. See, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Man, Paul has got a handle on this. You know how he got it? Well, he got it from Jesus, didn't he? I'll tell you another thing how he got it. He lived in the flesh. He at one time was guided, was controlled by a mindset of flesh. But then, thank God, Jesus himself looked down and said, you're one born out of due season. I'm calling you to be an apostle. I'm calling you to be a preacher. I'm calling you to be a teacher. I'm sending you, Paul, and I'm going to change your name. You're no longer going to be called Saul. We're going to call you Paul, and I'm going to send you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. How many would like God to do that for them? Huh? Do you believe here today that you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Do you believe here today that you have the Holy Ghost? There's just a little thing that might need to take place here. In Romans, the same chapter, the 17th verse, talking about God, he calls those things that are not as though they were. What do you think he's telling Abraham? Look to the stars and tell them. Proclaim it. There's some of you here today, and I believe every single one of you have the Holy Ghost. But maybe it needs to be quickened. Let's just look at it this way. Maybe it needs to be activated. Huh? Let's activate that Holy Ghost. Let's activate that Spirit. Let's begin to call those things that are not as though they were, as though they are. Let's keep going here. Back to Romans, the fourth chapter. That's some good stuff right there, Walker, in Romans 7. Remind me before I go to the very last two scriptures of that chapter. Some good stuff right there. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, let me see where I want to get down here. This is why you could read the whole chapter when you get a chance. Oh, yeah. So what hath our father Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh? Let's get down here to verse 13. Because we've been talking a lot about hope and how hope comes from a promise. The promise is a word that God speaks to us. Did God promise Abraham that he would have an heir? But listen, did Abraham have to wait 25 years and Sarah to get this promise? During that time of waiting patiently, it was hope that was saving Abraham. It was the hope of that word he lived in. Guess what, Carrie, here today? It's the hope of the words you've received that are saving you here today. Hope is an anchor of the soul, the writer of the book of Hebrews says. Hope is an anchor for the soul. It keeps you, Julie. It holds you. You know, in the book of Proverbs, Walker, it says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. What does that mean, hope deferred? What is deferred? Yeah, deferred is removed. When that hope is removed, your heart becomes sick. How many of you remember listening to my brother-in-law, the deacon out in Chicago, Tim McHenry, when he taught recently on a Wednesday? He talked about from the heart. From the heart. There's so much that comes from the heart. As a matter of fact, the first and great commandment, which is above all else, which all the law and prophets hinge on, says that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul and all thy strength is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Everything we do should come from the heart. And I'm going to tell you, when your heart is converted, like David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. When you experience being born again, you change. Your heart changes. There are so many things in life that we can like, that we can love, that we can go after. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, as you experience Christ and being born again, there comes a love for God and a passion rises up in your heart. Julie, it's like a fire. Jeremiah said, your word is like a fire that's burning in my bones. And you begin to get so passionate towards the same things of God. And you begin to love God and love his creation and love one another. Doesn't that sound so much better than turning on the news and listening to all the hate that's in there from both sides, from people that live and walk in the flesh? Well, let's get back on here. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So if there was never a law to tell you what sin was or what a transgression is, there wouldn't be any. But the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Once you're in Christ, you're no longer under the law anymore. You live with God, by God, for God, by his grace. Here's where we want to get to. These next two verses for sure. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Do you hear that? He quickens the dead. He calls those things that are not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. Think about that. It looked impossible. Let's do our imagination just a little bit here, Shirley. You got a man that's 75 years old. God talks to him. His wife is 74. No doubt, he goes and tells somebody. He goes over to one of his friends and says, hey, check it out. I'm going to have a kid. Yeah. Yeah, God told me we're going to have it. We? Her? 74? You? We'll keep reading. It says that Sarah's womb was dead. But God called it forth. He quickened and called that which was not as though what it was. But think about it. Well, it goes over to one of his friends. Maybe even the heir of the household there, Eliezer. Hey, you're not going to be the one. What? Yeah, we're going to have a child. That's hilarious. You're joking, right? And then a year goes by. See, I told you. And then another year goes by. You're looking foolish, Abraham. You're looking dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. After 13 years, around 13 years, Sarah's like, well, we believed God, but it's about time to help him out. So I got this concubine named Hagar, Abraham, which did the duties of a wife, but she was a slave, said, go in under her. Let her conceive. We'll help God out. She'll have the child. And Abraham did what his wife said, but God did say at one point, because you hearken unto the voice of your wife, just like he said to Abraham, huh? But they figured this is the way we'll do it. But there was a problem there, Daryl. What was the problem with this child? It says he was a child of the flesh. Born after corruption. Sarah was of the promise. Hagar was the bondwoman. And he was born after the flesh, but Ishmael after the flesh, and Isaac was one of promise. Right? So what about that friend, Daryl, after about 13 years? Huh. Well, you got half of it right. He was still in his prime enough to get her pregnant, but he ain't got Sarah pregnant yet. You guys only half right. What about the ridicule, Daryl? What about the mocking that probably took place with Abraham? Because Abraham's living in hope. He says, I know God talked to me. How many of you here today know God has talked to you? And you'll believe that and you'll stand on that for not only the end of this life, throughout eternity. You should. You should. Jesus is our rock. He's a sure foundation walker. You can believe him. You can trust him. You can live in his hope. You believe that here today? Where are we at? Oh, yeah. Daryl, it was against hope. Look at that. Who against hope? What do you mean? Well, it was impossible. Except for the fact, Carrie, that all things are possible with God. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. See, this is how he lived in hope. According to that which was spoken. You know, we're talking about, let me finish it real quick. So shall thy seed be. So it had to be spoken. It was a promise. And he told it to Abraham. Even where Abraham had to live in hope against hope, Walker. You ever felt that way to yourself? Man, it seems like there's no hope here. But I'm a believe God. I'll tell you, when we're talking about, I told you, McLean, you believe God. You and I, we're going to do it together. We're two or more gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. Right on? But it said he called those things that were not as though they were. Walker, whether you do it with anybody else or not, at times we need to tell that devil and tell that flesh two words. God said. Come on. Isn't that not how he created in the book of Genesis? Go to the first chapter of the book of Genesis and read it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Huh? God said, Walker, why are you doing what you do, Walker? Why are you living for God with all your heart? Because God said. Because God's called you. Tim, all those stiff-necked and gainsayers, there's people out in the world right now proclaiming, Tim Gallett, you can't fulfill the office of a deacon. You can't ever become an elder. And you're going to lift up your voice on high and say, God said. God said I am who I am. God has called me to be a light sent from heaven. Not only can I fulfill it, I will because God said. Come on. Right? But don't worry about it, Tim. Those people, they're in the world. They're of the world. There's many voices in the world, and all are of significance. Learn from it, but also at times let them know. God said. I used Tim because he made it. He made a covenant with him and God, and he ain't going nowhere. You're going to live for God now throughout eternity, and he will be who God, just like you will and I will. We are who God says that we are. Amen. Whew. Little more. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Here's the hope, Daryl. It's saying plainly, his body was dead at 75 as far as being able to reproduce. Sarah's plumbing was shut down. There's nothing happening here until God said. And when he was about 100 years old, 25 years of patience and hope working together, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here's how it works. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. There are many of you in this room here today and that are under my voice are going to be listening to this recording that God has made promises to, Dathan. You can see them in the scripture. You can see them written in the Logos Word of God. You can hear them in the Rhema live Word of God as God speaks these things to us. So count him faithful. And in patience and hope, let God bring to pass every single thing that he said he's going to do. Now, I'm just getting started here, okay? I'm not going to be here next week, so somebody's going to have to step up here and take that relay baton and take off with it or wherever the Lord leads you. But I know one thing's for sure. Lord willing, we'll be back here for Easter. And we'll be ready to do some preaching on Easter. How does that sound? Let's close. Let me see. Is there anything else here? Oh, yeah, a lot. In Romans, the 7th chapter, I'm going to read the last couple verses. Oh, wait a minute. There's something I have to finish here. Remember I said there's a revelation going to come to you here today to help you live for God while you're still in the flesh? Remember where it said what has Abraham found as pertained to the flesh? And then Abraham, it goes into talking about David and how blessed he was, Walker, because he had found some things. Abraham found in the flesh he could believe God. Watch this with David. This is Psalms, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse. Actually, let's go 8 and 9. David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If you always set the Lord in front of you, at your right hand, that's the power. You won't be moved. Listen closely to this. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. There's a place in the flesh, Walker, where you can rest. It's called hope. I'm going to rest in the flesh in my hope. You can be an overcomer while you're in that flesh, while your soul rests in hope. Listen to this next verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He says it again on the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts. The second chapter. Now, you know the book of Acts is where God poured out the Holy Ghost on 120 in the upper room, right? And Peter, Walker, it says in there, he lifted up his voice. Why did he do that, Walker? Because he's preaching. He's preaching up a storm. And he references David here. Watch this. He's telling them what they did to Jesus. He said, this is verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Notice this. He's on my right hand. He's not going to be moved, and here's the reason why. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Almost sounds like, Walker, that even though you're in the flesh and there's no good thing there, you can have peace. Kind of reminds me of something like peace in the carnal mind. My flesh will rest in hope. There is so much more to say, but I'm going to stop right there for today. Anybody have anything they want to say? Any questions? Jim has that microphone over there. I did. Thank you, Walker. We'll close with this. Romans, the 7th chapter, and the last couple verses, let's see. He instructs us very well here. Yeah, 24 and 25. Paul says, O wretched man that I am. You ever feel like that? There's nothing good happening for me right now. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's your answer right there, Jen. It's through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So your mind is renewed. Your mind is changed. You live for God in your mind. And you realize and you have an understanding that but with the flesh, the law of sin, it's going to be there. You just don't have to obey it. Romans 6, we're all over this book, huh? Know you not to whom ye yield yourself members to obey? To that, you're a servant to that. Whether of sin unto death or life unto righteousness. So I'll close with Joshua's saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I will proclaim, Walker, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen? God bless you here today. Thank you. Appreciate you, folks. Pray for one another, okay?